Commodore Admiral Minor Levati.
Arash grimaced at his face in the mirror. He looked well enough. The same tall, trim figure, the same lean face. Handsome, actually. The same red hair, only lightly silvered at the temples. Decades of service in the regular space service. Combat experience, decorations. A fine, upstanding officer.
A fine, upstanding fool.
He shook his head abruptly and glared at himself. Time to quit dithering, to quit making faces in the mirror and do something.
But to lose it all.
It hurt. The years, the friendships, the trust. The certainty of his fate if he didn't do something. It had gone already, gone before he'd realized it. It had gone the moment he went to Jules with his worries about Lupescu. Gone irretrievably the first time he'd done Jules a favor that went over the line by so much as a hair. He contemplated, as he had contemplated before, simply going off on his own. But with Fleet on a war footing, it was even less possible. Commodore Admiral Minor Levati, so well known, so distinctive in appearance, could not book a flight off this station without someone reporting it. He had to take that convoy out, knowing all the time that the hounds were on his trail, were closing in. He had kept the contact code all these years, though he had never made contact himself. After the fiasco with the Crown Prince, he had never meant to. He had tried to forget. But now, in his need, his memory threw it up on his mind screen as clear as the day he first saw it. Perhaps he was, in truth, what Jules had made him in law. Or perhaps half his luck would be with him, and there would be no corresponding code on this station. Then he would have to be honorable, have to be the naive prey who does not hear the hounds until too late. He would have to endure the discovery, the disgrace, the ruin of a lifetime's honest service for the sake of a youthful error. In a way, he wanted to be that innocent. He called up the station's database, looking for the number that he hoped would not be there. But it was. And as it would have to be, the number's owner was an unexceptionable business anyone might call or visit. Remembrances, gifts, and flowers. He placed the call and spoke the words that would mean nothing without the knowledge in his head. Then he had to wait for an answer, his nerves drawn tighter with every passing hour. Oblo held out his coffee mug for a refill.
I was afraid she'd faint. Turned white as a sheet, she did.
Oh, you idiot, Oblo. Maybe she hadn't heard before.
I figured she must have. How was I to know?
You have a brain. I wish I'd had time to talk to her.
Well, what about?
Copper Mountain. I was wondering if she'd heard more than I have. I wish I could transfer over there. My brother.
Your brother is fine, Methlin. You heard that.
Morning, Oblo. Methlin. What's this about your brother?
Nothing. Methlin just wants to go play big sister.
Transfer? I doubt they'd let you right now.
Methlin bit into a sweet roll as if it were an enemy's neck.
I know. I did sort of ask. Got told no.
You're not the only one. I heard from the Admiral's clerk, Admiral Serrano's, that is, that Commodore Levati asked if perhaps Harris's old crew wouldn't like to transfer, seeing as she's so close. Relatively close.
Petrus sipped his own mug of coffee.
Wants to get rid of us, does he?
I think it was courtesy. Sometimes he's almost scrupulously polite. Working at it. The Admiral said no, by the way.
She would.
Mind yourself. She's our Harris's aunt, not just a mere admiral.
Mustang.
So am I, with everything that implies. So, how are your sections shaping up for this next mission?
Better. It's still not what I'd have liked, all our own people. But the new ones aren't bad, and that first crew settled them.
Good. We may see some trouble this time out, from what I hear.
Yeah, me too. I heard some of the mutineers are trying to set up deals with the free trader companies, and even the big consortium. Anyone who doesn't sign up gets whacked on their next trip.
The Commodore's not bad. I hear he's got good combat sense. Not up to Harris, of course, but still.
We don't know that, Methlin. His record's good, and Harris liked him even when she didn't completely trust him.
Came to our rescue that one time.
Yeah, he was kind of odd about that. But I don't argue with good luck. Anyway, if it goes as smoothly as last time, we'll be fine. As long as the crew does its job and nothing blindsides us.
Nothing's going to blindside us with Kutsudas up in Scan.
The convoy proceeded on its way, a string of transport and cargo vessels guarded by Vigilance and her gaggle of patrol and escort ships. The original plan, to have each convoy include two cruisers, had foundered on the shortage of cruisers. This made Rascal's weapons upgrade particularly valuable, and Levati placed her at the tail of the line, where another cruiser would have been. They were held to the speed of the slowest ship. In this case, two of the spherical hulls used by the Boros Consortium, loaded with ordnance for the border stations. Esme's relatively young crew had plenty of practice in adjusting jump point insertions and exits, in interpreting long scan. After the first two jump transitions, she began to feel less like a character playing a part and more like a real captain. Her crew was settling well. She could feel their confidence in her. Kutsudis found Methlin Mahari in the enlisted mess and sat down beside her.
Mahari, can I talk to you?
I don't know. Can you? What's up?
I don't know, but I'm going to go nuts if I don't tell someone about it.
Is this the best place?
Maybe not. Where?
You off shift or on?
Off.
2 hours. Break room for weapons 3. See ya.
Mahari slapped the table and left without another word. She made her rounds, bumped into Oblo as usual, and suggested that he might want to meet her.
We need Petrus?
Doubt it. Likely someone's just leaning on the kid about something and he'd like to blow off a bit. Your insurance.
Gotcha.
They went their separate ways. 20 minutes before the 2 hours, Mahari ambled into the Weapons 3 break room and leaned over the shoulders of the two corporals who were studying a wire model of the main beam supports.
Something needs polishing.
Sir? What, sir?
Find it, and polish it very well.
The brighter of the two blinked again.
Sir, any idea how long we need to polish it?
1.5 hours should do it.
They left, and Methlin went to work. In 5 minutes, she had disabled the scan pickup that should have reported everything in the room. Oblo appeared 8 minutes later and checked her clearance before settling into one of the chairs. A pivot with a mug of something started into the room, saw them, and backed out without a word. The two of them chatted about inconsequential things until Kutsudis appeared. He had his own gear bag with him and produced one of his cylinders.
You don't trust us?
Don't talk to me about trust. This is all slippery stuff, nothing solid. I don't want there to be anything solid, but you need to know.
Can we have a noun? A subject?
Kutsudis glanced at the open hatch as if he expected a killer to step through it. Then back at Mahari.
The bridge crew is about to lose it.
Why? We haven't had any action I didn't know about, have we?
No, it's Levati, the Commodore. Something's wrong. He's not like he was.
Mahari felt a sudden lurch in her midsection, followed by a feeling of satisfaction. Everyone had told her how wonderful he was, but despite no evidence at all, she had never been able to like him. Her instincts were right. She forestalled Oblo with a look.
What's he doing?
It's hard to say. Mostly he's twitchy, jumpy. Everything's going fine, but he's wound up tighter than I've ever seen him. I hate... Look, I've known him for years. I was with him before he sent me to Commander Serrano, and I've never seen him like this. I don't feel right telling you, but I don't feel right about whatever's going wrong either.
What's Captain Brolson say?
He's getting tense himself, the way Levati's been jumping on everyone. We're afraid to say anything but yes, sir, and no, sir, on the bridge, and we'd become pretty friendly. You know how it is?
Mahari knew. All her instincts were jumping up and down, waving their arms at her. She looked at Oblo. His face showed nothing, but his eyes... Yes, his instincts too.
Has he done anything... anything at all outside what he should? Given any questionable orders?
No. I can't even believe I'm thinking he would, but... if he'd been rejuved, I'd be worrying about rejuve failure.
What about communications?
What do you mean?
Has he made any unusual communications? Outside the convoy, or to unusual destinations?
I'm not monitoring his communications. I'll find out if you think it matters.
It might.
You'd better go, Kutsudis. We'll talk again.
All right. I need someone.
We're with you, Stefan. We won't let anything bad happen.
After he'd gone, Methlin turned to Oblo.
I was wrong. We do need Petrus. If anything's going on, if that bastard's going sour on us...
He's not going to lose Harris's ship for her.
Some days later, Kutsudas passed Mahari a data cube with Lavati's complete inbound and outbound communications log. When she put it in the cube reader, she found that he'd made notations alongside the entries. This, a tight beam to one or another of the convoy ships. This, a tight beam to a fleet ansible with destination codes indicating a report to headquarters. Inbound from a fleet ansible, origin codes, headquarters. So far, so good. Then, a civilian origination code. His wife, Kutsudas, had noted. Every few days, a message from his wife.
Lavati? Married?
Somehow, she'd assumed him to be single. She glanced at the messages. They weren't encrypted, and were about everyday things. His wife was having a new carpet installed. She was sure he'd like it. It was the same color as the old. The price of snailfish fin had gone through the roof. She supposed it was the effect of the mutiny. His uncle, the retired admiral, had dropped by and talked for an hour about the political situation. He was convinced that if the old king and Admiral Lupescu had been in charge, none of this would have happened. Her sister's youngest child had won a music prize. She thanked him for sending a parting gift from Sector 7 headquarters, but didn't he realize that the shipping charges had tripled the cost? She'd have been just as happy with the usual box of candy from the local confectioners. The enameled box was pretty, but she didn't understand the message on the paper inside. Or was it just something the people in the shop had left in by mistake? Mahari stopped and reread that message.
Lavati usually sent candy, but this time sent a box? Well, maybe he'd thought his wife would like a change.
Though any woman who would choose exactly the same shade of carpet to replace the old probably wouldn't want a change in gifts either. And surely Lavati would know it. Though Mahari had, in a long career, seen plenty of marriages founder on the shoals of ignorance.
An incomprehensible message inside.
Why send an enameled box that far? Why that box? What was the incomprehensible message? She glanced down the screen and found it. Lavati's wife had included it just in case it was his message and he cared to translate. A string of numbers and letters. It looked exactly like a jump point address and Ansible access code. Kutsudas's annotation, cautious, said that such a jump point and Ansible access code were in the files, but that he couldn't confirm that the writer had meant the string to denote them. Mahari scrolled on down the log. There, highlighted by Kutsudas. The convoy had passed through a jump point with the same coordinates as in the message Lavati's wife had sent. And in that system, Lavati had stripped a message from the Ansible, using that code. The message, in clear, said, "Merchandise undeliverable. Addressee unknown at that address. Refund waiting at the next port of call." Harmless enough, but the numbers had been inside a box which was delivered.
What merchandise was undeliverable? Not the box. Something else? Why did he suddenly buy presents for people at Sector 7 HQ and ship them all over the place?
And no civilian should have had a list of jump points the convoy would pass through to send a message like this to intercept the convoy. Or have known what the next port of call was to send a refund ahead. She read through the rest. Nothing more that didn't fit. Kutsudas had noted at the end of the list that their next port of call would be Minden Station. Mahari thought about that, retrieved the cube from the cube reader and put it in her pocket, then set off on a purposeful meander to find Oblo. She knew he and Petrus had a regular sparring session in the gym. She found him just as Petrus came down the ladder a few meters away.
Joining us, Methlin?
You should. How long has it been since you sparred with me?
Can't. I'm on shift. Just brought you an entertainment cube. The one you were asking about?
Not Bridge to the Moon.
Nope, didn't find that one. This is Micheline Hernandez's A Traitor Revealed, with that good-looking actor, Simon somebody, playing the general.
There was, of course, such an adventure drama. Mahari would not have stooped to anything less complete. She handed Petrus the cube and headed back to work, the lines of the play that were not on that cube echoing in her memory.
It cannot be that you, my general, have betrayed us. Wouldn't be the first time.